This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
People. This is Coach Jen from Ocala, Florida, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for January 9th, 2014, episode 824.
Good morning!
It's Thursday.
Let's kick the tires and light the fires, Big Daddy.
Your presence is required on the command deck.
That's right, folks, it's Thursday, so that means you only have one day left to surf the web for off-kilter classifieds, email them to jennifer@horseradionetwork.com with bad ads in the subject line. On tomorrow's live show, like we do every Friday, the reading of the ads will reveal the best ad, whose observant submitting listener will win the much-coveted EquityMFG.com Flexin' Fork. Now, sit back and enjoy this mashup of previously aired equestrian-inspired, smile-inducing fun gleaned from the Hit'em audio vault.
Well, I gotta ask you guys a question. Our listeners and Jennifer can weigh in on this because I'm having a horse issue here at my house. There's anger amongst the troops. There's irritability happening right now, and I want to know if this is normal or is it just abnormal and that's just my life. So I have had this one particular horse for 8-9 years. His name is Demure. He's my warm blood. I've had him for a very long time, I guess 9 years now, and he has always been my baby. Now, I've also got Jet the Thoroughbred, and I've got some other stuff, you know, a lot of other horses here, but he's still, you know, my absolute baby. However, I got a horse in training. So this nice lady brought me her horse to ride for 30 days. She needed a little bit of a tune-up. He's young, and he's a very cute quarter horse, a little bay quarter horse named Dusty. So Dusty is now on my property, and because he's an in-training horse, he gets ridden first, and he gets ridden every day, aside from Sundays. But he gets ridden every day, so he's getting a lot of attention. My warm blood wants to kill this horse. I mean, hates this animal more than a donkey hates a coyote. I mean, charges him, wants to kill him. I put them out in the pasture, and he chased him for 45 minutes before I could catch the warm blood and bring him back in. I mean, hates this horse. And the thing is, they were stalled next to each other, and he was lunging through the bars when the horse was standing there sleeping. I mean, wants to kill this horse. Jennifer, do horses get jealous?
In my opinion, no.
I've never had a jealous horse before, and so I would have agreed with you had I not been spending so much time with the cute little young quarter horse, Dusty, as opposed to my horse that the warm blood is usually, Demure is usually the one I spend all my mornings with, and I give him the most attention first, and now that it's shifted, and I've never had my sweet gelding want to kill an animal like he wants to kill this horse.
I have had horses display that behavior in that there's one specific other animal in their environment that they really want to do significant harm to. I've had that. And now my really uncreative, boring, scientific way of looking at the world is switch it up. Do, you know, just don't pay any attention to the new horse for 4 days and love all over your warm blood and then put them out in the field together again and see what happens. And make sure your insurance is paid.
Yeah, exactly. No, I can't do it. I can't even chance it again because this little five-year-old quarter horse came to me unscathed. I mean, not a mark on his body. He is leaving my farm with scars and laceration from the one day I turned him out. He's just got, like, bite marks on his butt and everything, and I feel so bad for him. And his owner's like, whatever, he's just being a horse, no problem, and she's totally sweet about it. But I feel terrible.
I'm weighing in on the side with Jennifer. I'm not sure about the jealousy thing, but, you know, we've had innumerable horses over the years that just could not get along. One horse just did not like another horse. It's just like people, I think, where, you know, there's just people that you can't stand to be around. I think it's the same way with horses. They just get these certain ones. And we know that's true in the wild because, you know, you've seen stories and videos of that. So I think it's just more fundamental than that. You just found the one that he doesn't like.
I know what it is. Usually in the wild, there's a reason that they don't like them. You know, if they're challenging for their ladies,
you don't know what that little bay quarter horse is saying after dark.
Yeah, that's right. You don't know. He's going up and sticking his tongue out. He might be throwing rocks at him. He might be taking the gophers out of the holes and pitching them at this horse.
Yeah.
You don't know.
I guess that could be true, but why would he be doing that? Because the other horse is so jealous, and he's like, nah, 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 your mama loves me more than you. I mean, why are they doing this? So I just was curious if anybody has this experience. I don't understand why my horse hates this horse. Hates him!
I don't know that you ever will either. I think it's part of the deal. You're never going to quite understand why. But, boy, we've had it over the years that just two horses, that have lived on the farm for 5 years together just have never gotten along, ever.
Isn't that crazy? I mean, this warm blood I already cannot put near the one mare. Thank God I have three paddocks because now I have to put the warm blood out with a pony. And they sit in the very front of the pasture. Then the next pasture over has the mare. And then the one on the opposite side has the little quarter horse that he hates. He's like, I don't know what his problem is. Like,
pretty soon, you're going to need that farm in New Jersey we talked about with the 29 paddocks.
Yeah. I'm going to have to board that horse somewhere else. My own horse. Because I don't have room for him. He's killing everybody. And it's not that it's a quarter horse, you know, because we have a quarter horse. We have a paint horse. We have a pony. He gets along great with all of those. He gets along great with the other thoroughbred. He tries to breed the mare, and he hates this new one. So
I don't think it has anything to do with breed, actually, because I think it crosses that. But you know, because you've had horses get along with goats, for God's sake. You know, it's just the personality thing. I think it's just like us. You know, there's people we can't stand to be around, and we just make sure we're not around them.
So he's not racist, so that's good.
Like Snooki. Like
he's
I just,
not breedist.
To the core of my being, I hate Snooki. I've never even met Snooki. Snooki's never done anything bad to me.
But you would pin your ears and chase her out of that pasture.
Oh, my God, yes.
I never was into Halloween all that much. But
Mr. King, actor guy, Knight of the Round Table or whatever you did, like, you don't like getting dressed up and eating candy? I don't even know who you are anymore.
I love getting dressed up and eating candy, just not at Halloween.
Okay.
So now, I have a couple, but it is Halloween, and out of respect to those people who do like Halloween, like apparently Jamie does. I have two lists here that I thought would be fun to do today. The first one, I'm going to have you and Jennifer guess. So the first one, and this comes from a top veterinary website. And did you know that there is, get this, $2.5 billion will be spent this year on Halloween costumes? $1 billion on children's costumes, $1.2 billion on adult costumes, and $310 million on pet costumes. So what I have here is the top 10 pet costumes for 2011. So you have any guesses what the top costumes will be for your pets for 2011?
Pet costumes. Are these... Excuse me. Are these horse costumes, dog costumes?
No, these are mostly apparently dog costumes because they're the most popular.
People always dress their dogs up on Halloween as pumpkins.
Number one! Ding, 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 ding. Very good. That's the number one costume. This year. Yes, pumpkins. That's correct.
Huh. Interesting. Yeah,
that's number one.
Like bats or something? What?
Bats not on the list. Jennifer, any guesses here?
I'm going to try a hula dancer.
Nope. Good guess, but no hula dancers. I think you have to be a lot more basic than that with these. Okay, so I'll give you a hint on one of the top ones. They are often referred to as this kind of dog, and it is also their costume.
Hot dog.
There you go, number three.
The weenie dogs.
Yep. That's number three. And how about, let's see, a lot of these are also top costumes for humans. What is the number one costume for the parents who could give a crap about their kids and who would send them out at Halloween because they had no creativity and didn't want to spend any time with their children? What's the number one
Ghost.
Costume there? There you
Ghost.
Go, number 10. Just throw the sheet over, and I can tell you there was a time or two that we had the sheets over our heads. I think
with the eye holes.
The non-Halloween is a familial thing for you guys, huh?
Yes, that's right. So now here we'll go down through the list. Number 10 was ghost. Number 9 was dog. They actually dressed their dogs up as dogs, as a different kind of dog.
Oh, come on.
As a different breed of
dog. Oh, like a different breed.
Yeah. Number 8 was pirate, also very popular for humans. Number 7 was bow ties or fancy collars, like bandanas, of course. Number 6 was witch. You know, you've seen a lot of little dogs with witch.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Number 5 is cat, dressing their dogs up as a cat.
Oh, that's humiliating.
I know. It's embarrassing. Number 4, and you've seen this one too, is a bee, dressing your dog up as a bee. Number 3 was hot dog. Number 2 was devil dog, with the little devil ears, the little devil costume. And then you got the number 1, it was a pumpkin.
All right, well, you've got to see what I just posted on our Facebook page as far as this is the best dog costume I've ever seen. By far the best dog costume. They actually must have taken a lot of time doing this.
Oh, Chewbacca?
They've got some sort of breed of dog, and they have, I don't know if they spray painted him or dyed his hair, and his whole face is black and the hair is brushed over, and he's got that little thing across his chest, and he looks just like Chewbacca.
Like
it's
a little miniature version.
So I don't know where Star Wars characters fell on the list, but this one is awesome.
All right, let me get the other one I have here for you, and this is more food related, of course. And that is the 5 best Halloween candies. And this was actually a study done of children in school of what their favorite Halloween candies are. So I have the top 5 here. So first of all, Jamie, what was your favorite Halloween candy? You were going around and you were just praying you got this one.
I have two. There's two that have a special place in my heart, and when I die and go to heaven, I would like to land in a field of Reese's peanut butter cups and Butterfingers.
Jennifer, what are yours?
That's not fair. Reese's peanut butter cups are my favorite.
Well, you guys are in good company because Reese's peanut butter cups are number 1.
Really? Yay!
Yeah.
Really?
And I have a little thing here. H.B. Reese, a former shipping foreman for the Milton S. Hershey Company, was doing something right the day he invented the Reese's peanut butter cup, quit his job, and started his own candy company. The concoction is the perfect blend of chocolate and peanut butter. So, yep, that was it. So it was actually invented by H.B. Reese. Reese's peanut butter cups are number 1 on the list.
I love you.
Mine was
for Hershey's at the time.
Mine was not Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Mine was something else that's also on the list. So you have any other guesses of the top 5?
Yours probably was weird. Like, you liked the candy corn or something.
No, I hated candy corn.
I love candy corn.
I don't like candy corn.
Snickers.
Snickers is number two on the list.
You said you had that the list asked children. And
yes.
Children are not going to give any answer besides, like, the most unhealthy, ridiculously horrible, best, most delicious ones.
That's right.
So I would say Butterfinger. Is it Butterfinger on it?
No, it's not on there. But number three is my favorite, and that's M&M's. I like peanut and plain, but you know what we do now is we buy those little packs, the little tiny packs of M&M's. You know, you get like six or seven of the peanut ones in a pack.
Uh-huh.
And that's how I limit my M&M consumption, because I have to have an M&M every day. So now I can limit my consumption of M&M.
It doesn't actually work if you eat 17 of the packets, just you know.
That is true. Now, there's one on here that I don't like, and I'm actually kind of surprised that are on here, and that's number four on the list, and that's Pop Rocks. Are they really popular with kids nowadays?
I didn't know they were still making them.
I didn't either, but I do love me some Pop Rocks.
Do you?
Yeah. I like all fruity candy. The other thing would be like Starburst and Skittles. If you can take, okay, here's what you do. You take a Starburst. And you put two Skittles on top of it, and then you put another Starburst on top of that, and you squish them all together. It's like the greatest candy ever. It's a Skittle sandwich. Have you never had a Skittle sandwich?
I've never had a Skittle sandwich. I'm not big on Skittles either. I'm kind of a chocolate guy. The one thing I don't like, or I do like, really like, that's not chocolate is Twizzlers. I just love Twizzlers.
Yeah, those are good.
That's
just like... candy.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, twisted up sugar. It's great. Number five is one that I'm surprised Jennifer didn't say, because it's one of her favorites is Kit Kat.
Well, I was going to say that. I was, but peanut butter cups are better. Kit Kat's a close second.
Well, and I will say this, that Kit Kats are apparently the most shared because they're easily breakable, you know, into the strips. Mm-hmm. So, they are apparently the most shared candy of all.
Give me a break. Break me off a piece of that Kit Kat. See, advertising does pay. That's why people share them.
Jamie, when I was competing, that was my song.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the Kit Kat was my song, yeah. That was my cross-country song.
You'd sing that over and over again?
Yeah, I sang it in dressage, too, and every once in a while I'd sing too loud and get points off.
Dan would be very proud.
I did a couple points off for singing in my dressage test.
Well, so those are the top five candies that if you want to buy something. Now, the ones that I absolutely hated when we were making our rounds around Little Terry Hill in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, was the popcorn balls. God, I hated popcorn balls. And it seemed like there were, you know, you knew after a couple of years which houses the old ladies made the popcorn balls, and you'd avoid them. You just wouldn't go there anymore because you're just going to get popcorn balls.
Well, I must confess that I did something pretty terrible as far as being a I lived in a neighborhood when I lived in Atlanta, and I always worked on Halloween night, and I was a traffic reporter, and so we'd fly around, and the traffic was so horrible on Halloween night for some reason, so I'd always get home late, and I would always rush home, and granted, I don't prepare, and I would get home, and there'd be kids ringing my doorbell, and what do I have to give them? Nothing. So, one year, I decided that the only thing I had was money.
They love you.
You know, some of them were really excited, and some of them were kind of mad, like the ones that just did not know the value of a dollar. So I just had this big change bucket, and I was like, just reach in and grab, you know, whatever you can get. So they were reaching in and grabbing all this money. So the next year, I had actually prepared a little bit better, and I had candy. And these kids come to my door and knock on the door, and I open them, like, Happy Halloween, and they're like, trick or treat, and I'm like, here's your candy, and they're like, where's the money? we wanted the money. I'm like, you will? I cannot believe how much they remember.
That's funny.
It's totally true.
You probably had 10 times more the second year than the first year, too, because they all told their friends, that's where the money is.
And they were strangely adult.
That's funny.
Yeah, it is going to be a good day. So we have a fun show planned. We want to talk a little bit about leg protection because it's something that we get asked about a lot. And leg protection how do you wrap a leg for first aid? Should you use wraps or boots in the trailer? What about when you're riding? What are the best boots to use for support or for protection? And there's always a number of questions. So those are the three primary reasons why we want to protect a horse's leg. And we do have a video, of course, on how to wrap a horse's leg. So we've just put up, and I'll put that link up there on the Facebook page so people can see some technique recommendations. But Aaron, talk to us a little bit about wrapping a leg for wound care.
The important part you have to remember most of all is that the wrap is supposed to be a protection, but it also helps keep the swelling down. And what I always tell people is the center of the wrap is where the wound is, because that's going to have the highest pressure to it. On the edges, the wrap isn't as tight or as snug as the center. So you want to try to make that wound coverage the center of your leg wrap you're going to do. And that would mean that those that wrap legs for a living, they're grooms or barn help of some sort, and they wrap legs prior to the trainer going out to ride, they primarily wrap the cannon bone area with a polo wrap. And when you say wrap a leg and the wound's like on the lower end of that cannon, they'll do with the normal cannon bone wrap as if they're going out to ride the horse, and that's not the point of it. The point is to cover that wound and make it the center of the wrap. So when you're doing this wound care, there are different layers to the wrap. It's not just simply slap on a gauze and put that wrap around it and cover it up, which I run into probably about 85 to 90% of the time, and I'm sure other veterinarians do too. It's kind of like they're putting a Band-Aid on themselves. They just put a little gauze on there, put some vet wrap on, and that's what they've been doing for the last 2 weeks, and there's still a lot of swelling in the leg. Well, that can be a huge problem. You can tourniquet the leg. You can, what they call, the layman's, people would call it cord a tendon, where the vet wrap can wrap up into a nice little cord and wear on the tendons and ligaments on the lower limb and cause some problems with that tendon or ligament because it's right underneath the skin. So when you're doing a wound care wrap, you want to make sure you put some sort of gauze with your medication on that wound. And if you're instructed differently by your veterinarian, by all means, do what your veterinarian suggests. You place it on top of that wound. You put a padding of some sort, like a cotton quilt or cotton roll, on top of that to protect the leg itself. And then you add your vet wrap, or what they call standing wraps that have the Velcro. Not the polos, they're too thick on fleece, but the standing wraps are nice and thin. And you add that on top for a pressure aspect of the bandage in order to decrease the swelling in the area.
Very good. And that's an important point, not to put vet wrap directly on the skin, because that's, as you said, you run into that a lot. And we get a lot of comments from that from our veterinarians as well. What about tightening the wrap? We get questions about as well that, do you tighten the wrap all the way around? Do you pull against the back, the front of the leg?
Honestly, tightening across the front is the more common way to do it. There hasn't been any proof that you will pull a tendon out by tightening across the back. That's an old wives' tale. So those that have come up from the inside and pulled up to the back, it's really uncomfortable way to wrap that leg. So pulling across the front of the leg as you're wrapping is realistically a better way of wrapping. So it's more technique, and you get a better, firmer coverage on the firmness to the wrap to reduce the swelling than you try if you're trying to pull from the inside out. So I'm not sure if I explained that very well. I can demonstrate it much better than I can describe it. But yes, pulling across the front gives you better torquing on making the wrap very tight. Now, granted, I don't think the strongest man of the world should be tightening your wrap, because that would probably be too tight. You'd probably just tell him to make it snug. So just look at your abilities. If you don't think you're making a tight wrap, and you'll know that because it falls down like a sock, then you probably need to have somebody else in the barn help you out and make it a little tighter wrap, maybe somebody who's got a little upper arm strength more than you do.
But don't consider it a gym exercise. Got it.
Right. You're not lifting weights. So you just need to make it snug, because you don't want it to fall down, and you want it to do the added ability, and that's decrease the swelling in the area.
Sure. Now, what if you've got a wound? We mentioned wounds in the cannon area and further down in the fetlock area. What if you've got a wound on the knee or the hock or above?
Yeah, those are very, very difficult. And those are ones I guess I can't say. Those are ones I'll almost always find a gauze and vet wrapped on top of it because they can't quite figure out how to wrap that area. And it usually does not stay on the wound area, and it's fallen down. So that's the biggest problem is it falls down. You can't use sticky Band-Aids to get it stick on there because the horse moves. They'll chew it off, that kind of thing. So what we have to do is something called a stacking bandage. And what that is basically like you stack blocks as a kid. You're going to have to put a bandage below, and that bandage is not there to protect the wound or anything. It's there to hold up the other bandage. And I usually incorporate it into one vet wrap roll if I can, or one leg wrap if I can, and then I'll overlap. If I couldn't quite do it because it was up in the highest part of the forearm, let's say, and you're making the leg walk as one big stump or stick, and that's okay, is I'll start my second roll of vet wrap or my second standing wrap a little bit below the knee and start incorporating the knee so that it becomes one movement from the shoulder forward or the elbow forward on that leg, only because you know that wrap's going to stay in place. If you put one wrap on the bottom and then you put one wrap on the top over the wound, it still will probably slip. If you incorporate it as one solid bandage, it usually stays in place very nicely. And again, make it very, very snug. When you're wrapping your wraps around, your vet wraps and your standing wraps, you overlap by one half of the other one, and they're usually 4-inch wide wraps. Those are preferred in horses, not the 2-inch in dogs and cats, the 4-inch. So you want to overlap by at least a half as you're going up, and you kind of make it a barber pole or candy stripe, whatever you want to call it, going up the limb or down the limb, depending on how you're instructed to do the wrap.
Very good. Now, as far as wrapping the hock, there's a particular consideration with that as well, right?
Yeah, it's like doing the ankle in a human. Exactly like doing an ankle in a human. It's a figure eight. You want to keep the point of the hock open in the back. That tends to be an area, of course, they're going to flex the hock area, but that tends to be an area that will get rubbed sore a lot quicker. It almost happens in 24 or 48 hours. So you want to make sure that that area is opened up so they don't get hock sores over the back side of it. Now, granted, if the wound is on the back of the hock, please seek instruction from a veterinary technician or veterinarian on how you're going to have to wrap that, and you'll probably have to incorporate that hock area into a bandage, but you're probably going to put some padding around it.
Right. And one other thing about wrapping a hock, especially, I think a lot of horses aren't used to having that area wrapped, and you want to be sure that you're staying pretty close to the horse so you don't get kicked while you're messing around with that hock.
Absolutely, right. And that goes with any wraps of any legs. I mean, there are some young babies we've had to wrap their front legs, and they've never even been touched, not even by a farrier. And that becomes difficult, and you may get a little hoof in the face, so you need to be very, very careful. Again, then one key that you need to keep in mind is horses stand on their diagonals, so they'll stand on their right front and their left hind comfortably, or their left front and their right hind. So if you're wrapping a hind limb, pick up the foot on the same side as that limb, and they should stand on it. There are some tricky ones out there who will balance on their whole right side and try to kick you with their left side, or their whole left side and try to kick you with the right side. But if you pull up the front leg of that same hind limb that you want down, they'll usually stand on the leg a lot better. Same thing on the front leg. You just pull up the opposite front leg, and they'll usually stand on it. Now, there have been a few that rear up, use your back, you know, things like that. But you need to incorporate somebody else's help on those tricky horses.
That's a good, great tip. And, Erin, you wanted to mention as well a couple of tips on wrapping a hoof if you need to do that.
Yeah, the hoof is it's always forgotten, I hate to say, when it comes to wrapping, because the leg always has the wounds and stuff. But we'll see almost as many hoof injury incidences as we do leg injuries, maybe a little less. But in general, the hoof is very confusing for people to wrap. And I'll find that when they evolve off part of the wall, like they got hooked in the fence, they pulled back and it hooked the wall and peeled the wall back of the foot. You still want to try to maintain that wall in a good position until you get a veterinarian out there or farrier or both to address the situation that just occurred. I tend to pick the foot up and I cradle the bottom of the foot with a large piece of cotton roll. And that's that roll cotton that you can find at the feed store or the veterinarians have. Or you can even use one of your quilts if you're out on a trail ride and all you have is quilts for your leg wraps. You can put your quilt on the bottom of the foot. You know, of course, clean it off so you don't get it too dirty. And you put the quilt on the bottom of the hoof and wrap the edges up around the sides of the hoof wall. Start your vet wrap around the edge of the hoof wall itself, going up and then down underneath to incorporate like a boot that looks almost like the hoof. And you can really get a nice snug vet wrap on any kind of cotton roll or quilt. The no-bows you can't. Those things are like putting a pillow on the bottom and trying to wrap it up to the foot. But the smaller cotton quilts, you could get them to conform to the hoof wall a lot better, and then you put your vet wrap around it. On top of that, it's highly recommended you put duct tape, because the horse will tear through the cotton roll or your quilt and through the vet wrap, and then your bandage is not doing its job of protecting the wounds in that area. The other asset to that is if you have a horse that's not very good about soaking its foot for abscesses, you can make a great little boot out of duct tape and vet wrap and cotton quilt, which is darn cheap, to soak the foot all day, and you're not struggling with them knocking over a bucket or jumping backwards or whatever the reason is that they won't soak their foot. They can soak their foot all day long in Epsom salts and water by pouring it into the backside of the heel bulb area, and the whole cotton roll soaks up the Epsom salts and water and soaks the bottom of the foot for an abscess while the duct tape holds the water in. And this is the secret that I learned from veterinarians when I was young, and I took it with me in life, is as the best thing to do is you lay out your duct tape, and you pull off about 12-inch strips, and you overlap them by, I don't know, a couple millimeters, so they connect to each other, laying sticky side up on a table or however you want to do it. And you put four of them in a row, and then you do another set with four in a row. Then you put them on your pants leg. I have to say pants leg because I had a client do this in shorts and put it on her actual leg. You stick the sticky side onto the pants leg of your pants, one on one leg, one on the other, and you got four strips together. You pick up the horse's foot, you take off the old bandage, you clean it out, you put your cotton on, you wrap it with vet wrap, and then you take four of those stickies and you go from front to back, four of those stickies going from inside to outside, so you make like a red cross on the bottom, you wrap the edges up, and then you continue to secure it in place with one or two more wraps of the duct tape. You know how fast you can get that done once you get practice on it? Is very quickly on a baby that's never had their feet up, on a kicking back leg of a horse, if you have somebody else, you know, helping you out. It's amazing how fast you can get that on once you get a process. And you don't even have to put the vet wrap on if you get very quick. You can just put the cotton on and put the duct tape right on.
Perfect. I think that's a great tip.
I had to mention the pants, though, because the client said, yeah, warning.
Yeah.
she didn't have to wax your legs.
No shaving for a week. Yeah. No, you got to work with what you got. If you're wearing shorts, then by God, you know, take one for the team.
Coach Jen here, host of the Horse Tip Daily Show on the Horse Radio Network. The way consumers interact with the brands they have trusted for years and those they are about to fall in love with for the first time is becoming more and more mobile, literally, and will continue to do so for the foreseeable future. Podcasts or internet radio shows like this one combine the new consumer preference for on-demand information and entertainment with the power of niche market audiences. Advertising on the Horse Radio Network podcasts allows you to reach the equestrian consumer using today's preferred on-demand delivery system. It's cost-effective and flexible, able to reinforce your existing marketing and social media strategies. To learn more about advertising on this show or any of the shows on the Horse Radio Network, contact us at 859-951-2022 or you can email us at glenn@horseradionetwork.com. That's Glenn with two N's at horseradionetwork.com. Come and join the Horse Radio Network family. You'll enjoy the ride. Today's podcast has been brought to you by Dr. Rose's Remedies All Natural Healing Salve. Developed by veterinarian Dr. Rose DeLiva, the Dr. Rose's Skin Treatment Salve is an all-natural anti-inflammatory, antiviral, antifungal, antiseptic, and anti-scarring product that contains no artificial colorings or preservatives. It works to promote the healing of scratches, relieve inflammation and irritation, promote the healing of wounds, and moisturize the skin of the horse. Because it has so many healing qualities and uses all natural ingredients, Dr. Rose's Remedies Skin Treatment is the safe, effective salve that every horseman should have in their tack box. Ask for Dr. Rose's Remedies All Natural Healing Salve at your local tack store, or you can go to drrosesremedies.com. That's drrosesremedies.com.
Can breathe again. Got a thirst in my heart, hunger in my eyes. Need to satisfy my soul, free my wild side. My wheels have been spinning like crazy in my head. Gotta get back to living before I forget. My sights are set where that green grass is, a good running start. She gave me to ride, fresh pair of wings and a long stretch of sky. I've saddled these dreams, I'm holding on tight. Need a good, strong, tall wind and a horse that can fly. Yeah. Got a load on my back and a lot on my mind. Yeah, the weight of this world really gets me sometimes. There's a freedom inside me I've been missing so much. Gonna kick the gates wide open and leave a big old cloud of dust. Yeah, 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 yeah. 'Cause I need somewhere to run, somewhere to ride, a fresh pair of wings and a long stretch of sky. I've saddled these dreams, I'm holding them tight. Need a good, strong, tall wind and a horse that can fly. Yeah. Giddy up, look at what lies on the horizon. Second star to the left, then straight on till morning. Cause I need somewhere to run, somewhere to run, a fresh pair of wings and a long stretch of sky. I've saddled these dreams, holding on tight. Need a good, strong, tall wind and a horse that can fly. Yeah, I need a horse that can fly. Feeling all cooped up, feeling all caged.
Hey, are you a Muppet fan?
A what?
Do you like the Muppets? Do you like the Muppets?
Oh God, who doesn't? I thought you said you like the Muffin Man, and I was like, the Muffin Man? The
no, Drury Lane? Are you a Muppet fan?
Yes, I love
them. Hey, it's Friday. I can do whatever I want. My ADD has free reign on Friday, and actually, I just saw an ad pop.
It's Friday.
Here we are mired in Zenyatta running the Breeders' Cup. Hold on. Here we go.
You're getting too emotional. I had to get off the topic. So,
do you know
it's
the
Friday.
The Muffin Man? Do you know the Muffin Man who lives in Drury Lane? Yes. Didn't you remember that from Shrek? Okay. Phew. Go ahead.
Muffin. Anyway, yes. They have a new movie coming out, and I heard an interview with the guy who directed it yesterday. And I am so looking forward to this movie, and I'll tell you why. We love the Muppets. I remember sitting on the couch watching the Muppet Show with my dad, and it was one of the very few shows he ever watched with us. And I just remember sitting there watching and laughing so hard. He said, the director said, they're taking this movie back to the old Muppets, the beginning of the Muppets when they were snarkier and more for adults. And then they became sort of a kid thing over time. But when the first shows came out and, like, The Muppets Take Manhattan, that was really an adult movie. They had kind of adult themes to it. And they
were
snarky and sort of self-defacing. Well, that's what they're taking this movie back to. They're bringing it back to the original Muppet. So I can't wait to see it. It comes out at Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving. Okay, so it doesn't come
Muppet
out this weekend.
Domination.
And guess what we saw last night? Go ahead and do the whip again. It's sort of on movies, though. So I think we're okay. We saw an ad last night for that crappy movie that you want us to go see that's sort of the spoof of the jockey thing.
I did not say it was crappy. I'm excited about that movie.
No,
we're
saying we saw the TV commercial for it last night here locally. It looks awful. You know how sometimes in the trailers you see the best of the movie? If that's the best of the movie, this is going to be one of the cheesiest, most low-budget movies ever made. It looked awful. There wasn't anything funny in it, in the trailer. It was awful. We watched it twice.
Are you serious?
We watched it twice. Jennifer, back me up on this. We watched it twice because we were like, it can't really be that awful. Back me up on that, Jennifer. You said, no way in hell I'm going to see that movie. Did you say that?
It is. Yeah, I'm real concerned that their heart was in the right place. But it really does take a very special writer and a very special acting person on the screen to pull off that kind of a film, and I don't think they're going to do it.
What? First of all, we got to remember, what's the name of this movie? I forgot.
I'm trying to remember. Which day did we talk about it? Was it yesterday? I don't remember.
No. It was, I think, Monday we talked about it. Guys, come on. It's a brand new movie. It's just about to come out.
What's the genre you called it? What do they call it? It's not a documentary. It's a mockumentary.
Mockumentary.
Oh, here it is. It's called And They're Off.
Yeah.
And They're Off. And They're Off, and it is opening in New York, L.A., and Lexington.
And it was, oh, God, it was bad. I'm telling you, Jamie, it was one of those trailers you went, if that's the best they have to put in the trailer, this movie is going to suck.
Okay, I'm going to read to all of our listeners who may not have heard that talking about it. It is a mockumentary on horse racing starring Sean Astin, Bob Baffert. Who else is in it? Let's see. Kevin Nealon is in it as well. Directed by Rob Schiller, who's a racehorse guy. Sherry O'Terry from Saturday Night Live is in it. How can this be bad? It's a mockumentary on horse racing. It's going to be terrible, isn't it?
It's bad. It is showing. I'm looking at the schedule. It's showing here in Lexington right now. You can go see. Oh, here we go. Let me see what the first review came in. Let me see what it is. Here they gave it one star out of five, this first review.
Oh, God. That's not good. That's definitely not good.
Running in the claimers already.
That's right. He's in the $2,000 claimer.
He's no longer in Stakes Company.
This sucker is with Thoroughbred Connect at this point. They've already offloaded it to the Jockey Club. because that's our next guest.
I'm sorry.
It's going to end up being a trail horse in Minnesota someplace.
Bless its heart. That's when you have to say bless their heart. You have to say, oh, bless her heart. So it says that And They're Off is a comedy centered on a failed horse trainer who desperately wants to be back in the winner's circle. Did you see any of, now, of course, if you know the name Bob Baffert, if it sounds familiar to you, that is the silver-haired gentleman that is always in the Derby, and he always has horses. He's a trainer. Did you see Bob Baffert's acting ability in
No. The- I think he probably has a very short cameo role, but I'm trying to get it set up right now to play you the trailer, the sound from the trailer.
Oh, my God, please do. Keep working on it.
I think you'll get an idea of how bad this is if I can get this set up quick and you can hear it. Just by the sound.
In the world of thoroughbred racing, there are countless stories of greatness. This is not one of those stories.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Dusty Sanders Racing. Just be yourself. I'm just coming into the racetrack, and, you know, you look around and you see what... I thought you broke up with me.
I did.
Just leave, Dusty, okay? Come back here so you can leave.
Go on here, and you can put it in
here. I'm not changing your car.
You think he's still into me?
The setbacks you've been having, I've been a complete mess for 2 weeks now.
I'm all right.
Yeah, but what about me?
Molly and I are in the pet mortuary business.
Yeah, cremation as well as taxidermy.
Are you thinking of this as a career for me?
No.
Dad, I'm a horse trainer.
I love his passion for animals. I just thought he might do better with dead ones.
What are you doing there? The Bunsen swap is 65 pounds.
It's just when you see, when you actually see the video, it's just kind of cheesy. I don't know. Maybe you'll like it. Maybe you'll like
it. I think I laughed out loud twice. I laughed out loud twice at that, and I'm only listening to it. So I think you might be a little judgmental. I think that, you know, but what they said was, I don't know if you guys, do you watch Modern Family?
No.
Okay. But you got to start watching that
show. That, it just could be that we don't like that kind of mockumentary either. We'll find out.
Do you watch The Office?
Nope.
Oh, you guys don't watch any of the good shows. So what they do is it's kind of like they pretend in The Office that there's a show being filmed. And so there's always camera crews around, and they will talk to the cameras. And just like that on Modern Family, where they will just turn around and kind of like be interviewed and talk to the camera and give their real opinion of what they were actually thinking. So that to me sounds like what's going on here. And I think I'm going to like it. I think it's not going to be offloaded to the Jockey Club Thoroughbred Connect program immediately. I think it's going to be good.
All right, we'll see.
One by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
Well, Jamie, today we are giving away a Horse Radio Network, a coveted Horse Radio Network hat with our little logo with Newman on there. Everybody's favorite. People love these hats, so we're going to be giving one away to the winner today. And we had some new people submitting ads this week, didn't we?
We sure did. I love it. I love it. But I think you have the first one, so let's crank this puppy out.
And let me just give this mandatory weekly disclaimer that the people's names we are reading here are the people that submitted the ads to us, not the people who wrote the ads, just to clarify. And the first ad we got from Brenda, who sent us this, which I think was just funny. She says, the title is Horseshoeing Jesus, $100, Southern California. Where is the man they called Horseshoeing Jesus? What is his name? dashing young fellow, to say the least. Any help would be appreciated. So I'm kind of wondering, this ad kind of brings up a couple things. First of all, she put $100. So I guess she's willing to pay $100 for the horse showing Jesus. But the second thing it brings up is the way that that reads is you kind of wonder if she really wants him for horse showing or for something else. I'm not sure.
Dude, but have you ever read the missed connections section in Craigslist? Okay. That is what this woman wants. She wants the dashing young fella to swoop in, and she missed the connection, and she's looking for him. So I'm sure that's where it came from.
And by the way, if we can find a guy called the horseshoeing Jesus, we need to have him on this show. So Jennifer, if you ever come across the horseshoeing Jesus, he needs to be on this show. Just saying.
Yeah, I agree. The next one comes from Erica Winnestorfer, and Erica says some people just take Keep Portland Weird too much to heart, because apparently Keep Portland Weird is it's where this comes from. Just a quick little story about a chicken. Special needs chicken needs home. Do you have the right coop for Nando? For Nando. I've spent all spring and summer nursing this little guy along. He has a special place in our hearts, and we want to find him a great home. His name is Nando. He is a red-blue-laced Wyandotte cockerel. He is rather famous on Backyard Chicken, backyardchicken.com, people, with his thread receiving over 18,000 hits. His story is long, and you can enjoy his journey by going to BYC and typing Nando in the search. BYC is backyardchickens.com for those people with backyard chickens. From there, you can go watch his progression from microchick to gorgeous rooster. His fans will probably want occasional updates on his happenings. This chicken has fans. Nando is not without issues, however. He seems healthy in all ways now, but he does have deformed toes, which keeps him from flying and jumping up onto roosts. He will need a ladder to do steps to get up to a roost. His spine is also deformed, but it doesn't slow him down. The website has many videos of him walking and crowing, something he really likes to do.
Hold on. I didn't know chickens had spines.
Of course they have spines. They're not amoebas. However, I would love to see a deformed spine on a chicken. That'd be interesting. He does have a fairly quiet crow compared to others I've heard. Alas, also no spurs. He is a cascade of colors, and he dropped his whole tail to make way for new and improved one. It is about halfway in these following pictures. We're not giving him away as freezer fodder. We want to take him to him to go to a nice hobby farm or someone with a really big heart for this big guy. I'd like to see him in a Cooper barn at night, though he would be fine free-ranging by day. Do you have a spot for Nando? If so, I'd love to hear from you. If we could keep him, we would keep him if we could, but our urban location is just not a good fit for a rooster. Thank you for considering him. Have you...
I'm on
backyardchickens.com.
Did you know about this site before?
Glenn, I have backyard chickens. So anytime I have gone to Google, because I'm not going to own an animal I know nothing about, I started doing some research on the chickens that I had and, you know, like what temperature they're comfortable at and what they really need to eat and what they can and can't eat. And every search you do on chickens will take you to backyardchickens.com. It's bizarre.
Some of these chicken coops on here, they have pictures of people's chicken coops. Does your chicken coop look like a beautiful red barn, or does it look like a beach house? Is that what yours looks like?
Are you serious? Mine is
a stall
that is enclosed with chicken wire.
I love this one. This one that looks like a little barn, and it's on wheels. It rolls around the yard. And there are some that look like houses. They are some of the fanciest chicken coops I've ever seen on here.
These people have
way too much time. Oh, no. There's a recipe section. Does it include chickens? Let me look. Main dishes. Yep, the recipe section includes chickens. Baked chicken and sour cream.
Contain chicken or eggs. They're not a requirement. Aha. How do you have the main dish with chicken without chicken?
That's funny. This is funny. This website is funny. These are people. The forum. I just looked at the forum. Oh, my God. I found his forum page. There's a picture of him when he was little.
In the forums?
In the forums. There's a whole section on Nando the chicken. Apparently, he's pretty popular here. There are posts. Some of these topics have 50,000 posts, 100,000, 500,000 posts. Oh, my God. These people are addicted to their chicken.
I can't believe Nando has, 18,000 posts, and they're just giving them away.
No.
Nando's famous. Maybe there should be, a Chicken Connect. And that you fall in love with, you go on here, and you look for Nando, and then turns
driving
out Nando
needs a home. You're driving down the road, and you see some chickens in the yard, and one really strikes your fancy. You just trot down the address, and you go on there, and you look it up, and you say, I want the black and white one that was in your front yard on Tuesday morning at 7 o'clock.
That's like misconnections. You're getting confused again.
All right, the next one was from did you ever get your chickens, by the way? You were trying to get chickens.
I increased my herd, my brood, by two yesterday. These poor little things. Holy cow. I would like to read on backyard chickens what this – shocker, okay? The shocker of this is I go looking for chickens, and I want this very particular breed. So I, of course, start looking on none other than Craigslist. I find the chicken. There's, somebody selling the breed that I wanted, which is a Barred Rock, and Plymouth Barred Rock, if you will. So I go, and I see the breed, and I want it. So I call the guy, and he's like, well, we have 50. I said, you have 50? Because I was like, do you have any left? 50 chickens. Okay, so I drive out there, and on my way, he calls me back, and he goes, hey, this is Andy. You looking for a rooster, or are you looking for a hen? And I was like, uh-oh, I have to have hens, no roosters. He's like, okay, I think we have a couple. I get there.
What, they have 50 roosters?
47 roosters.
Oh,
and three hens. All
God,
in the
what
same
are his
neighbors?
Don't tell me he has neighbors right next door.
Oh, honey, this is we were in, if there is the country in Phoenix, this is more country than where I live, okay? It was bad, tractors broken in the yard, broken cars, the whole thing. And it was this guy that was, his dad was 80 and just collected all this crap, and then all these chickens bred, and then they kept breeding, and then he kept breeding, and they're all in one room. So he was trying to help his dad get rid of a bunch of junk and the chickens. So we are in there. I'm in a pen. Talk about nightmares. I am in a room with 48 roosters. I took the only two females that there were. Now, I want to tell you something sad.
Did you get attacked? Those roosters were pissed. You took their girls away.
It wasn't fun, Glenn. I'm going to have nightmares about that. Being in a room with 48 roosters and taking the only two girls out of that room. Oh, they're going to haunt me in my dreams, okay? These things were pissed. So we're in there, 48 roosters, two hens. Try to catch that. Try to catch two hens in a room with 48 roosters. So, I said, I'm going to have nightmares about it. We did get them. Now, I would like to point out that with 48 roosters and two hens, these poor girls, I think you wouldn't have thought it should be hard to catch them. You would have thought they would have jumped in the creek, because these poor things have no tails. They have no feathers on the back of their neck. I sent Jennifer a picture, and it's a headshot of the one with actual feathers on its head, and it's in the crate in the back of the truck. Oh, my God, these poor little girls have been mauled to pieces from all these really rotten roosters. I mean, horrible, poor little things. So they are relaxing and recuperating in my chicken coop with – now I have four girls.
So you have four chickens, four little hens in the chicken coop, and one rat. Is the rat still living in the chicken coop?
He's not a rat. He is a guinea pig, and I think that it's too cold for him outside at night, so now he comes inside at night, and then he goes.
Boy, that should take long. Jennifer, that only took 4 days.
But my guinea pig was getting cold, and so Guinness had to come inside. And so Guinness lives on the he lives on a shelf in his big cage, and he runs around and he sprays little stuff everywhere. And Chad gets mad, and then I clean it up. So he lives in there, and he's going to come and live in the office, I think, in here. So you'll hear him squeaking during the show. But no, it was too cold for him out there, Glenn. It wasn't fair. Okay. But I do have the only guinea pig that gets turned out every afternoon, because I do take him out and turn him out in his pasture. I call it the guinea pig pasture.
You have a little fence. You have a little three-board fence around it so he can't get out.
Yeah, actually we do. They're 2x4s that are stacked up and then covered in chicken wire. So he's got his own little guinea pig pasture.
Well, the coyote will love that. All right.
Watch your
Here
mouth.
We are with the next ad from Aubrey Miller. Horses and saddles, $700. I have a 3-year-old mare and a 2-year-old stud for sale. Mare is brown and white. Stud is black and white. Very friendly. They just need work. Have saddled them a time or two and sat on them, neither bucked. They don't know. They just don't know anything. The saddles are a raping saddle / trophy saddle in great shape. Let me reread that sentence. The saddles are a raping saddle and a trophy saddle in great shape.
I don't know why that's so funny to me.
I don't know either, but I read it this morning and I cracked up.
I love that when Aubrey sent this in, she wrote, "What kind of saddle? Yikes."
Well,
and then
they
didn't buck.
Okay, so I'm kind of wondering, because she's got a raping saddle and then a trophy saddle. And then it goes on to say, an older riding saddle needs TLC and the older black saddle's in good shape. So I'm assuming that the raping saddle needs TLC and the older black Aubrey, you're not the winner today, but if you don't have one of our hats, which I kind of think you do, but if you don't have one of our hats, I'm going to give you one of our hats just for this. So just let us know if you don't have one, we'll get you.
Oh, my God. That just goes to show you how much one letter in the English language changes everything. One letter from an O to an A raping saddle. It's a really very fancy saddle. Yes, ma'am. It's a 16.5-inch raping saddle. Oh, my God. That's funny. Okay. This is one in Gilbert, Arizona. I'm really proud that this is my city. Is anyone willing to trade a safe bumper pull trailer for a few breedings to my stallion? I'll take any size trailer just as long as it's safe for the horses. Please get back to me. Registration is available for the foals, and they will be show quality.
When I read that, I read it this way, because you added a word. Now, let's read it exactly like it's written. Is anyone willing to trade a safe bumper pull trailer for a few breedings to my stallion Al, available as well, any size, just as long as it's safe for horses? So when I read that, I went, wow, is the stallion safe for horses? You know, we need horses that are safe for my stallion, is the way I read that. But, okay.
Oh. I don't think it's Al. I think it meant AI, like artificial insemination.
Oh, see, I read that as Al. It's available.
My stallion Al. You want to breed to my stallion Al?
Al.
Why not?
He's available and he's safe for horses.
Registered for horses. He's any size. That's disturbing. I obviously you read it even funnier than I did, because I thought, why the hell would you tell me you can? I'll trade you a trailer for breeding for my stallion, which you don't even tell us what you own, much less tell us anything about the stallion, and you know for sure that it's going to be show quality. What if you
That's
have
right.
an Arabian and I have a Percheron? How is that show quality?
Well, that'd be cute. Melanie sent this one, registered quarter horse, $1,200. Registered quarter horse mare, 15.1 hands, plump, gentle, great rope, horse trail rides, barrel race, and cattle work, sound, need shoes. If you need more, please info call, and I will send you pics if you need to thank you by $1,200.
Well, first of all, this horse is plumb gentle, and I don't know how to use a period.
Plumb gentle, great rope horse, named Barrel Race. He's done everything, too. He's a rope horse. He barrel races, cattle work. This one does it all, but he needs shoes. I think you should take off $200 for the shoes.
Yeah, so too. Jessica sent in the next one. This is, oh, God. I don't know how I'm going to be able to read this one. There's so many misspellings. 6-year-old sorrel paint rope horse. I have a beautiful Sorrel paint gelding for sale. He is a great horse all around. He is a great horse all around trail arena and rope horse. He is sound and has awesome feet. He's a big boy. He's got a big chest, big butt, is the perfect size for rope, and he's 1,300 pounds, 15.5 hands, no buck. He's a good horse for any level above first starting out riders. God, that was all one sentence. Holy cow. Okay. Reason for sale is I'm simply getting out of horses. I run two busy Nisseses, and my time is locked up with that. I hope you don't have a tutoring company.
He runs a school.
I run a school. I'm educating them chillins. I still work him and ride once a week, but he deserves a job and more attention. His last owner used him for roping. He was used for both head and heel. And I also have his tack for sale, not in Cluey. And Kate Crate's 15-inch rope saddle, his bridle headset and blanket, and whatever else I have for him. Everything you see in the pics that is on him is for sale. I'm not listing my number because I get networkers calling and people to make appointments that never show up. So if you're really interested, please email me. It goes straight, George Strait, to my phone, and I can respond quietly. Sorry. I will trade for a quad dirt bike trailer of any kind. Surprise me. But it must be worth my asking price. No junker fixer-uppers. And no, I will not include tack for price of horse. I will, however, bundle horse and tack for right trade offer. Thank you for looking. If you bring me junk, I ain't trading you the tack. But if you bring me something nice, I'll give you the tack.
Well, the next one's from Dawn Bailey, and it's Tinny Kitten. I have two baby kittens, betting 3 and 4 weeks old, one all black, one black and white, very cute and stocky, and a mask and a rehoming fee of $30. They still need milk, so if you want a baby, here are my neighbor's numbers.
Neighbor.
Now, wait a minute. I read that wrong. They are my neighbors. She's selling her frickin' neighbor's kitten. I wonder if the neighbor knows. And she's charging $30. Okay, so when did the rehoming fee start? That's a new thing that's come in the last couple of months in our Craigslist ads, is rehoming fees. It makes it sound like you're not even paying for the sucker.
Why the heck would you have to rehoming fee? What if somebody comes to your house and picks them up and that's going to cost you an arm and a leg, so you have to charge them? What the heck? It's just stupid.
I know, rehoming fee is a new term now that makes it sound like it makes you feel good about paying $30 for some kittens that aren't even 6 weeks old yet and still need to have milk.
If you give me 5 minutes, I will find you 25 free kittens.
I know. I know. And then she's selling her neighbor's cat. There you go.
Yeah, there you go. This comes from Dawn Bailey. Also, she had the tinny kittens. But this one says, who is the electrician? And in quotes, Mark. Hey, anyone know who this Mark guy is that keeps responding to Craigslist ads with this email? Hi, I don't have any extra money laying around, but I am interested in this item. I am an electrician and was wondering if you might be interested in trading for some electrical work. Please let me know. Thanks, Mark. He keeps emailing me and my friends. If you read this, Mark, please stop emailing me. Okay, he's a spammer. It's spam. Craigslist is full of it. I get emails. I sold a car on Craigslist 3 years ago. I still get people emailing me about my car. Seriously?
Craig. Jennifer found this one. Spotted Mountain Palomino Roan. Rayon.
No.
It's actually a rayon. Spotted Mountain Palomino Rayon C2 for sale or trade, $600. This is only in Kentucky. And you know how we, every week, we get the one ad that they're really, they want to trade their horse for something. Well,
yeah,
this guy really wants to get rid of this colt, because listen to this. This colt will mature to 15 hands and can be registered Spotted Mountain. We'll consider trading for manure spreader, riding lawnmower, trailers, GPS, chainsaw, meat eater, ATV, plasma TV, things that go bang, etc.
Just get this horse out of here.
Anything you have to trade, he will take. I like how he didn't want a regular flat screen TV. He wanted a plasma TV. Very picky.
Of course. Or things that go bang, whatever. So done.
That go bang. That's funny.
Don sent this one in. Cow poop. Oh, there's
dirty words in this. I hear the weekly cow poop ad.
You know.
Every week?
I'll comment about this after I've read it. Cow poop. We have cows that keep pooping, and it's more than we can handle. Every day there is more cow bleep piling up, and my husband is starting to panic. He works at Jiffy Mart and doesn't have the time to figure out what to do with all of it. I work too, and I dread coming home each night only to see the cows have pooped another mountain. Please, if you know what can be done about this situation, please let us know, as we are at our wits' end. The stench is becoming unbearable here, and I can hardly eat my salad right now as I type this.
Aren't you glad she wasn't having a steak?
Well, that's the thing. A couple things is you could probably sell your cattle, or you could eat them. So if you're having a salad, you're not helping the problem at all. You have an overabundance of cattle in a place that you shouldn't probably have cattle if there's a poop mountain when you get home. Thank you. That's my two cents.
And the winner for this week, really badass, goes to Wendy Taylor. I don't remember that name before. She might have submitted before, but I don't remember it. Congratulations, Wendy. You are the winner today. And Jamie is going to read this in her best hillbilly southern accent.
It's horse for sale or trade. It's an Apicross mare, 6 years old, mostly broke, 15 two hands, plenty of stamina. She will trot long distances, good circle hoss. Not a bad round gunfire, easy keeper. Knows my knees and heels, the rating's fair. Braid once, can do much better, but needs a rider, not a child. I'm 67 now, and Doc says I can't finish her. I got to step down to a total broke gelding or a mule because of my wore-out parts been replaced with steel rods and such, and I can seriously break more easy now. Paleface is a great mare. If you got questions about her or her breeding, then call in the evenings and ask for Ruckus. First picture is me and Paleface. Second is Paleface and her filly. She can drag logs. She broke the tether on a 30-foot chain when camping or hobble. Fair with her feet, though she's never needed shoes. Although I've had her trimming her feet, rolls and the toes and nubbins. And doesn't like being tied hard to a tree. You can load her and haul, but don't like being tied hard. 2,000 her best offer opens to trades, as I said above. I feel dumber for reading that.
That's pretty good. You did a good job of that.
There's no punctuation. Everything is spelled wrong. I think this person in the keypad, his vowels are missing. There are no vowels on his keypad, just consonants.
I got to step down and total broke gelding a mule because of my wore-out part. Then replaced with a steel rod. Kind of made you wonder which one was replaced with a steel rod.
Doesn't like being tied hard to a tree. I don't know what that means.
What, is there a way to tie him soft to a tree? I don't know.
You just tie him loose like.
Yeah, with a 30-foot chain, apparently.
Exactly. You can chain her up, but don't tie her hard.
Well, that about wraps it up for today, folks. Tune in again tomorrow at 9 a.m. Eastern for another serving of horse-themed hilarity. You can find links to topics from today's show and our advertisers at our website, horsesinthemorning.com, and you can have all of your favorite Horse Radio Network shows with you wherever you go with the free Horse Radio Network app for iPhone and Android. Just go to your app store and search Horse Radio Network. Now, go ride your horse.